Got a question or comment? Need savvy travel advice? Connect with Robert and Mary and our show team anytime on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or LinkedIn at RM World Travel. Now, back to award-winning RM World Travel.
Well, we always enjoy the NCF. It is something, folks, that only this show can do with all the stations that we have. And now, as we get back to talking travel with you, the personal connection with Reeve Lindberg is going to be our focus these next 10 minutes, which is sponsored by Travel Guard Travel Insurance.
Whether you're traveling this summer or fall somewhere yourself or with family, just like having a fun itinerary, a valid passport, and of course, quality luggage, travel insurance is essential for a successful trip. You just never know when it comes to emergency travel situations, so don't put your investment or your well-being at risk. Travel Guard's affordable, and it's going to give you protection in a lot of different ways.
You know, Forbes has ranked them as the best travel insurance company out there, and when you think about what travel can cost, all the challenges you're facing if or when something goes awry, just do what we do, folks. Get covered before you leave with TravelGuard.com/carry. You'll also find a direct link at RMWorldTravel.com under sponsors.
All right. In May of 1927, aviator Charles Lindbergh completed the first solo nonstop flight across the Atlantic from New York City to Paris. This pioneering trip would set in motion a new global interest in aviation and a new world for Charles and his family. Reeve Lindbergh is the youngest daughter of Charles and Anne Marl Lindbergh, and she's joining us on that show hotline now for our personal connection.
Hello, Reeve. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome to RM World Travel.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Well, nice to have you here with us today. You know, listen, we could easily do the full 2 hours with you today. I mean, your story really is captivating. Certainly, your father's famous trip across the Atlantic, followed by the tragic kidnapping death of your brother prior to your birth, you know, it thrust your parents into a very public world they didn't ask for. So, you know, you came along 18 years after that famous flight. I'd love for you to share a little bit about what it was like growing up under that umbrella of public fame.
Well, I really was very protected. We all were. We lived in Connecticut. We lived in a small suburban community in Darien, Connecticut. And we rarely heard much or saw much that had to do with the fame. Once in a while, somebody would ask a question or somebody in school would say, oh, can I get my book autographed or something like that. But it was rare. And I think my parents carefully kind of orchestrated their lives so that their children would not be exposed to the kind of thing that had led to, of course, the kidnapping death of our brother, whom none of us ever met. He died just before, before my brother John was born. And, so we didn't know him. We didn't know that part of our parents' lives, or the about the flight to Paris. This was all kind of in the distant past for us.
Right.
Yeah, you illustrate that quite well in your latest book, which is called Two Lives, in terms of the fact that you came to a lot of this on your own, the way a lot of people did through reading it in books. So let's talk about the fact that that was such a private event, and that the fact that they tried to keep things so private for you. But in Two Lives, you really set up how you navigated the fact that although they may have tried to keep it private, you do live a public life. You've been a successful author. You will always be one of the daughters of Charles and Anne.
Oh, yes.
Talk a little bit about why you wrote this book and a little bit about your life on the farm, which is so different from the rest of your...
I wrote the book because I was amused to realize that I just lead this very quiet life at the end of a dirt road in northern Vermont, and we have chickens, we used to have sheep, and we, you know, I go into town and with my dogs to the vet, and life is, it's just that kind of fairly simple country life. And then I'll get a phone call and somebody will have important questions about my family, my parents' lives, and I have to kind of switch gears, and I try hard to do that, but it's odd. Sometimes I think I'm definitely leading two lives here, but I don't mind it. It seems to be a way that I can cope with having this very kind of famous history behind me while still, you know, taking care of my chickens and taking the dogs to the vet and going to the library and, you know, talking to my grandchildren. So it's that was why I titled the book that way and how I set it up. I do know quite a lot about the family history, and I'm connected with the museums and the publishers, and I'm literary executor from my mother's estate, so I work with those people as well. But it's a hard job to have two lives. And I always look at some of the movie stars and the public figures, and I think, well, I can do this, but I have a fairly simple life. But how do they do it?
Right.
So, mm-hmm. it was a question I put to myself, and that was why I wrote the book.
Well, it's certainly well illustrated, and I don't want to give any more away. People will have to read it, but it is incredibly well illustrated in terms of how you do navigate those two very different lives.
Thank you so much.
Good title. So, you know, you mentioned the Lindbergh Foundation. You've done a lot of work over the years. You are an author. You're also a children's author. Putting yourself really in the public eye has required you to travel all over. Your parents were avid travelers. We know their history. It's in the bloodlines. I love your perspectives on travel itself and how it can often be transformational for people.
Well, for them, for the travel was something that they really created, opened up. They were my father and mother together opened some of the earliest airline routes all over the world. They were working for TAT, and then my father especially Pan American, and so they would fly places. One of the first trips they took was over the pole to Asia. And there they were together in this little plane. And my mother was a radio operator and communicator, and she wrote about that trip. But they, in a sense, they started international air travel and loved it. She wrote a couple of books about this time. But I find that I traveled a lot when I was younger, and I, of course, have not traveled during the pandemic. But afterwards, the first thing I wanted to do was to go to California and see my daughter who lives there and visit my brother in Montana. And I did all that this spring. I had the most wonderful time. First, we flew out to California and then drove east to Montana.
We've done that. Yeah, I tell you, that is a drive. We've done from San Francisco.
I love the drive.
There are parts of America that are just absolutely gorgeous and beautiful, and I would encourage people, if they haven't done a drive like that, to go do it.
If you have not done it, it is the most wonderful drive.
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course, gas prices aren't too great.
No, Reeve, they are not. They aren't going to be for a while. But, you know, let me go in a different direction with you for a minute.
Sure.
You know, there's a very interesting sentiment in Two Lives where you write about visiting the Smithsonian, looking at the planes, but also at the same time, you know, some of the other personal artifacts. And I'm thinking about, you know, the clothes your mom wore on the ground or some of your father's gloves and boots. And you almost seem to describe them as not real to you, like there's this tug between the historical aspect, maybe the family aspect. So what,
that's true. That's
talk
true.
About
it
that.
It is hard to sometimes to look at some of that material and not feel that it's unreal. This is part of a story. This is a, you know, a saga. But also sometimes an archivist at the museum told me that she found in a book that my parents had, she found little pressed flowers my mother had saved from one of the places they went. And that was immediately, I thought, yes, that's my mother. And I love doing that. I love sort of finding the personal in the impersonal. That has been quite a gift to me, because I did at first always think of those airplanes and all the artifacts. I thought, those aren't real. Those aren't my parents. And then there'll be some little thing that that brings me back. So I think it's a kind of a dance, actually, a kind of a dance between the life that I know and live every day and my connection with my parents, who are both gone now. But it has been quite fascinating to begin to get used to these two lives and to appreciate them both.
So, Reeve, with your approach to living two lives, which you've been doing basically since you were a little girl, what would you like people to glean from how you've lived your life under those circumstances?
How I've lived my life? I was thinking how they had lived their lives. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it is absolutely wonderful to take a good hard look, and sometimes a soft look, at the history behind you. I look at it, and to kind of make the people you have known and loved, or your ancestors, to understand that they are real, and to begin to incorporate them into your own life. I think it's something. I look at programs like Ancestry or other, the Henry Louis Gates program that shows people who they came from. That is an absolutely wonderful thing. I've always had access to the fame of my parents, but it is a wonderful thing to sort of see yourself inside their story.
Well, that is a great place for us to put an end on things. Reeve, listen, thank you very much for spending some time with us this morning. Okay. And folks, I do want to give the website, if you're interested in finding out more, it's just reevelindberg.com. Reeve, we hope you have a nice rest of the weekend. Thank you.
And you too. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Take care. Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, well, interesting conversation with Reeve. We really could continue to go on.
Fascinating, yes.
But the show clock says right now, Mary, that we need to take a brief time out. I know Rudy's got the right stuff next. We've got RJ also ahead with the open road. And then Mary and I, we're going to be back to talk flea markets. That's also still ahead this hour as well. So don't go anywhere. Thanks for being part of the best weekend show in America, everyone. We'll be right back.
Today's edition of RM World Travel will be right back, and you can always stay connected with the program at rmworldtravel.com.